What does seduction mean to you?
Seduction is, I guess it's an art. It's a way of speaking towards what you want without saying what you want, right? You know, it's talking with your eyes. It's saying, hey, I'm interested in you without saying I'm interested in you. Something you can do from afar. Gotta strut the stuff a little bit. Let them know, hey, I'm over here. Come look at me. I might be worth your time.
When you have your partner or whoever you're with, like, getting you in the mood, making you feel comfortable and, like, you know, just, like, comfortable with them to, like, engage in what you want to do, you know?
I feel like it's more of, like, an energy. And I feel like it's, like, someone that's, like, I don't know, like, tapped into you. Like, they're making it their effort to, like, let you know that they're interested in you, you know? And, like, doing it in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's what you exude. I don't know. I feel like you can definitely feel a certain type of person's, like, seduction by, like, their eye contact or their body language or, like, how they're talking to a person.
Seduction means you being powerful enough and sexy enough to exude that energy and make someone feel like, you know, they have the power, but really I'm making you weak.
Oh. Seduction is very, very, I would say, intimate, because it's who you are, it's your presence. It's like your uniqueness of, like, your sexiness, kind of like what you were saying. And I feel like when you seduce somebody, you can seduce them by just simply just being floral, like your scent, your essence, how you look, how you walk, the way you lick your lip in that very second, or even the way you blink. Like, it's like seduction is very, like, characteristic of who you are, standing in your power of being comfortable with yourself and, like, all of you, not just your physical.
Seduction means to me is like when someone, like, kind of traps you mentally and physically. You just are so obsessed with that person, in a sexual way, but, like, it can mean, you know, it can be seduced in other ways. You know, someone can seduce you for money or seduce you for a boost in a career. But, like, sexually, I feel like when someone seduces me, it's like I'm just always thinking about them, and they, like, kind of trap me in, you know, some type of mindset.
I like to seduce through my words. So not even saying anything sexual, but, like, I like to mentally, like, get into your mind, because I feel like that's very powerful. If you can get somebody's mind, like, you're done. Yeah.
All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed. And we are your hosts, Amir Rashad.
Basir Rahim.
And today we're going to get into the art of seduction. That's a good one. It's a classic. It's a classic. And I feel like everyone needs to have some kind of seductive style in their tool bag, you know, if they want to be out here bringing in potential partners in their life.
Yeah, seduction tools, game, how to flirt, all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's important.
Absolutely. So today we got a really good episode for y'all. Real quick, shout out to all of our new followers. Thank y'all. Y'all been really so active, and we're just so hyped. We're loving all the engagement. We see y'all. We appreciate y'all. All of the followers that's been rocking with us for a while now, we appreciate y'all sharing, commenting, liking, and helping us grow this thing. Things are really, really growing, and we got a lot more in store for y'all. So thank you.
Yes, and thank you for being patient. We know that it's been a little MIA.
We have been a little MIA.
Yeah.
A lot of lifing right now, for sure. Yeah, we've been having a lot going on. We have a kid, and it's summertime schedule, so, you know, we've been trying to manage that, and we just know that we want to bring a certain quality level to y'all, and if we can't do that based on all the shit going on, then we're going to hold off on it. But we want to keep that to a minimum and continue bringing y'all this good content each and every week. So, what is today's sex fact?
Today's sex fact is research done by the University of Groningen states, if you want to increase your chance of having an orgasm, keep your socks on during sex. No one is sure exactly why this works, but one theory is that in order to orgasm, you need to be totally relaxed and anxiety-free, and cold feet can interfere with the ability to really get into sex, especially for women, says Fran Walfish, PhD.
It's so funny that we found this sex fact, because I found it recently, maybe over the last couple of weeks. I just thought it was so interesting because I feel like in the past, I've been clowned for leaving my socks on during sex. And I know a lot of men in general get clowned for having socks on. And yes, it can look stupid depending on the length of your sock, what color the sock is. But I just found it so interesting that this thing that we've been doing all this time was actually beneficial for our pleasure. You know, so fellas, if y'all keep y'all socks on, it's all good. For whatever reason you keep your socks on, just know you're doing a good thing.
Rock out with your socks out.
Rock out with your socks out.
Yeah, I think it's really funny. I don't know, when I'm in bed, sleeping, laying down, just relaxing, I hate socks on my feet. I feel just confined. So unless like my feet are in shoes that require socks, I don't like socks at all. But I think the reason why it helps is because it also increases blood flow. So if your body's warm, there's just more blood circulation going. So that also may be why it increases orgasm.
It definitely makes sense scientifically. I've tried to deviate from keeping the socks on, just number one, so you know, keep it sexy. But two, I can't get that good grip I need a lot of times when I'm, you know, standing up and I need to, you know, get those angles. The socks make it too slippery.
I don't think we've ever had sex where you had socks on.
Probably not. Most likely not. But now, going back to the socks. Going back to see.
You get the little grippies at the bottom of the socks?
Grippy socks. Yeah. Might be a thing. So, to today's topic, the art of seduction. So, let's break it down. Well, first, what does it mean to you? To seduce.
To seduce. I think seduction is all about the energy you bring. And it's about pulling someone into... like that really attract to the attractive parts of you and displaying that and allowing somebody to be enticed by that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think seduction is all about just kind of like reeling it in, getting your prey. Yeah.
I like it. I think for me, it's the art of the lure. Mm. It's what things are you doing strategically to reach your desired goal of enticing this person for whether it's sex or just to have them in your life in whatever capacity that is. But it's the art of the lure and luring them in and you know, figuring out what buttons you got to press, what things will appeal specifically to this person in order to get what you'd like to get from them.
Absolutely. And seduction, it definitely has to do with sex and getting somebody to basically to get in bed with somebody, but it doesn't stop there. You can do seduce somebody to do you a favor, to just like them, to just like you. So yeah, seduction, it plays in a lot of different roles in a lot of different ways. Networking is just a form of seduction.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sales, even.
Interview.
Shit.
Yeah, it's all seduction.
Yeah.
Seducing you to get to whatever goal you have in mind. In reading and researching for this episode, and even in reading The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene, I realized seduction is just pure sexy manipulation.
Yeah.
I think in one definition I looked up, it straight up used the word coercion. Just coercing somebody to do whatever you want. And in a way, this is just a really dark side to seduction.
Yeah, in the wrong hands, seduction can be absolutely abusive and manipulative. And so, you know, obviously we want to stay away from those types of seduction and seduce people in a positive, welcoming, loving way, you know, in hopes that everyone gets what they would like out of these experiences.
Absolutely. There's a healthy way to do anything.
Yeah.
So, and seduction is just that. So
that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. Healthy seduction.
Yes. So what's the working definition that we came up with for what seduction actually is?
Our working definition is sexual seduction is typically a slow process designed to win over the object of desire and is all about playing with desire and anticipation. Seduction seeks to bypass consciousness, stirring the unconscious mind instead to powerfully entice or attract somebody.
Mm-hmm. I really love that. I think that encompasses it all. And what stood out for me is the conscious and subconscious parts of it. Mm-hmm. And that at the end of the day, you're doing these things consciously to invoke a subconscious response mm-hmm. from the person. And that's the most appealing part of the seduction to me. Like, sure, they're going to see you doing things and feel certain things from you. But the part that really makes it stick and really draws them in, I think a lot of times, if done well, is the subconscious part. They don't necessarily truly realize why or how you're luring them in the way that you are. And that's the part I really think is the really sexy part about it.
Yeah, seduction is a mind fuck. It's like, and not in the way that's like manipulative, but like fucking your mind in all the sexy ways, all the alluring, seductive ways. It's just a mind fuck. And I think that's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break down some specific seduction techniques that we like to apply, and also things that, you know, you might just want to consider doing when it comes to seducing your next play partner.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you got in your tool bag of ways that you've seduced me and others in the past?
The way that I seduce you?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely flirting with the eyes and just kind of making, like making out with you with eye contact and just allowing just that whole conversation to happen without words. I think it's really, really sexy. Just like the light touch on the knee or shoulder. Touch just invites more interesting thoughts, even if it's a simple, modest touch. So I always like to do those things. Also just like tone of voice, what tone I'm bringing to the table. Because it's very different when you're seducing someone rather than if you're at a party or just hanging out with your friends. So bring my sexy voice to the table.
Right.
The way I dress, you know, making sure it's something appealing and sexy. Not too revealing, so there's a little bit of mystery. So I think that's just, like, what I do with my person. And then, I guess, like, with environment, that's, like, a whole other story. But I guess you can go into what you do as for your person.
Yeah, definitely for me, it's a lot about presence, because I feel like a lot of times when people interact with each other, they can feel the lack of presence in another person, whether it's breaking eye contact.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big one. Like, people just have trouble with holding eye contact with somebody. So I like to just continue to look you in your eyes so you know I'm here present with you and you feel that.
Yeah.
And I'm grounded in this moment and engaged and not scared of the moment to be present with you so you can see my full self.
Yeah, and also just not being awkward in that as well.
Yeah.
That's sexy.
Yeah, really be able to sit in that confidently. Definitely eye contact, especially when you're across the room or something like that. I feel like that's the only way you really can communicate with somebody, by that intense eye contact. But in a seductive way.
Not so, staring.
Yeah,
down.
Not just, oh my God, you know, but smiling with your eyes and like a little head nod, maybe, or a little smirk.
Yeah.
You know, that nonverbal.
I like to look away and then look back. It's a little flirty.
Well, y'all can do that. We got to be strong in our position. We can't, as men, we can't really do that. That look away, you can't break eyes. Yeah, once you're there, you got to let it be known. You hear, you see them.
I think what it does, I guess from the feminine perspective, it allows, like, I, even in looking away, I just, like, can't keep my eyes off you. Like, I have to keep going back because you have so much of my attention. Because if you're across the room, then obviously you don't have my undivided attention. So even in whatever space I'm trying to be present in, I'm still present with you.
But that is seductive. Like, as a man receiving that from a woman, it's cute, it's fun, it's like, oh, you know, she keeps looking at me kind of thing. So yeah, it works in y'all favor.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But after you make that initial contact, yeah, a very calming, grounded voice I like to have, just a very assured, attentive voice in my speech. Definitely a little lower, definitely a little slower. Tempo is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it cool. No cracking of the voice, to try to avoid that. I do like to break the touch barrier as soon as possible. Once I know I have consent, either actual verbally or, you know, again, really being able to read the person and know you've got nonverbal consent and it's okay. You know, you got to really be able to read the person properly. But I feel like I got a good grasp on that when I can just, you know, make a light touch on the shoulder. Or if we're sitting down, touching of the knees, that's a nice way to break it without even having to use my hands. Just a touching of the knees. You feel,
like knee to knee.
Yeah, like you feel the energy of that person just by that little subtle touch. So I like to do a little bit of that. If I can, just a little. Yeah, so you know what I'm saying. Just even that.
Yeah.
I've touched you with my hands.
Way.
It really does. Yeah. And again, it's subconscious because a lot of seduction has nothing to do with what's going on in your conscious mind, but it's all the things happening behind the curtain. So all those little things I definitely like to do. compliments about things other than your physical appearance, about how you actually look. I try to avoid that at all costs. You're so beautiful. I hate y'all hear that shit 50 million times a day. Nobody cares. It doesn't mean anything, as we spoke about earlier.
That's so like, well,
not that it doesn't mean anything. I'm not coming
right
out
person.
I'm not coming out for me. That just goes against my rules. I'm not coming out the gate with that. You're probably not going to get that in our first or second encounter. And I think that's part of my shit too, because you're used to that. So I'm showing something else. Like, well, it makes you maybe possibly even question, like, oh, was I on point today? I didn't get that normal response. It might drive you a little crazy.
Yeah.
It might make you think about
it. Master manipulator at work.
I'm just saying, I'm gonna avoid that. But I will compliment your outfit, or I may compliment something that you're doing. Or if, you know, let's say I saw you in a grocery store or something, I might compliment or talk about something you got in your cart. Like, I'm trying to compliment or comment on anything but your actual physical appearance. And again, it shows attentiveness to who you are as a whole being and not just your physical appearance. I think it really goes a long way.
I agree with that. I think with me, when I'm flirting with men, I make it a point to compliment their appearance, because men don't get as compliments as much. So for them, it's like the exact opposite.
Right.
So it now becomes like this new thing of like, oh wow, she like really liked like my shirt or my this or
yeah,
the tattoos.
It's interesting how that works,
nose
right?
Nose ring.
Yeah.
A beard.
Yeah.
A bald head maybe.
Mm-hmm. A bald headed.
But
too.
Yeah, it does that same mental, you know, subconscious manipulation, if you will. But it is very interesting how with each side it's complete opposites.
Yeah, definitely. And recognizing that there are different rules for each side of the fence here, as it comes to men and women. So you know, don't avoid that, lean into that, and just be aware of those things. But after that initial kind of interaction with somebody, like when I have more control over the setting, so it's still seduction, you know, when somebody comes through. I love having somebody come over. Cooking was definitely a big thing that I would do. You know, like to activate on that. And again, it shows effort.
Yeah.
And it's showing your skills outside of anything sexual and what you have to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And showing them an experience they might not have gotten from other people in the past. So cooking, a massage, definitely having the vibes right, having the house nice and clean, having some dope music that's not your top 40s trap shit, or rap shit or regular R&B. Yeah,
that's a whole other conversation starter.
Yeah, that gets the juices going in a different way. So yeah, come with some different vibes, come with something different that everybody else is bringing. Uniqueness is very seductive. It's exciting.
Absolutely. One thing I would always bring to my environment was candlelight. I'd always just, sometimes my whole room, that's the only light that's in there.
Yeah.
And it's enough where there's enough light, but like enough where it's like, it's dimmed light, it's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Fire, just having that element in the room, it just brings a whole different energy.
Right.
So yeah, just having the environment right, just lighting. I hate going over to somebody's place and it's just like, you know, the boob light that's like in the ceiling?
Yeah, that regular ass light that everybody has in their apartment. Yeah.
Mad illuminating everything. You can see all their secrets and all the dust.
Yeah.
It's like, candlelight could be, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And if you find out in the morning, you're so just enamored that you stayed the night. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. But another thing that I think kind of goes under the radar sometimes is comedy and making someone laugh. Like, we know it can be a tool that's attractive for people, but I think if you can really master whatever your level of comedy or just fun and just making people laugh in that way, that goes a long way. Because again, it makes somebody feel good, and you might have brought a certain level of joy to their day that they might not have had today or in recent times, you know. Yeah. So to get somebody to laugh goes a very long way. I think like a lot of comedians out there, they might not be the most attractive physically, but they make somebody laugh, you're on your way to something.
Yeah, it's powerful. It raises your dopamine levels. It just makes you feel good. And that when you just start like remembering the night that you've had or the day that you've had, and you just start laughing at the things that you laughed about, then it's like that seed that you've planted is now being watered without your presence.
Right.
and it's awesome. I love it. I think for me, when it comes to like making someone laugh, I don't think like when I try to be funny, I like dad jokes. I'm very corny. And like my humor comes just like when I'm not trying. And just like some natural, authentic thing is happening, and I'm probably being awkward along the way.
Yeah.
And it just makes it funny. But when I actively try to be funny, it's just crickets.
Don't worry.
Hard crickets, as you know.
I do know. Sometimes you come with those. But I love it because it's corny.
And it's
you being your real self.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. Yeah, for sure. I definitely love that. But what are some things that are not seductive? Maybe some things that people might be doing that they think are seductive and not seductive. For me, I would say giving somebody flowers very early on, I think that's pretty lame.
I disagree. Two things. One, I do have some anti-seducer stuff. Can you swipe my gloves? I think having flowers is so sexy because it's like it's so cliche that it never happens. So to get flowers on a first, I've never gotten flowers on a first date. It just has never happened. I think what you gave it to me, you gave me flowers early on.
I think flowers on a first date screams desperation, just overly trying. Cute. I just feel like it's overly trying.
I feel like it's like the single roses.
A single rose. Like if, let's say you're out walking the streets and like there's a street vendor and they got some nice flowers and you want to grab some, you know, grab a flower or two and it's on your walk and it's very spontaneous. That's the only time where it really seems appropriate to me. I think other than that, flowers are, you're trying. If I showed up to a first date with a bouquet of flowers that you got to go put in the house, or like you come out the house and I meet you somewhere and they got flowers, now you got to carry them.
That part, yes.
It's all that.
I think if you're picking desperation, someone up, which I don't know, just living in New York, that doesn't happen because everybody's on the train and you could be in freaking the Bronx and I'm coming from Queens. So the likelihood of being picked up is low. But in the case that you are being picked up, I think it's cute.
Cute.
I think it's cute.
I'm not going for cute.
I think it's sexy. I think it's thoughtful.
Ladies, please comment and let us know if flowers on the first date or very early on is cute or sexy, or if it's just screaming of thirst. I don't think it's screaming of thirst.
Only because it doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen.
There's a reason why it don't happen anymore.
Because
it's corny. It's whack.
Okay.
It's lame. Fellas, if y'all haven't been, don't pick this up. Don't listen to her. That ain't gonna get you nowhere. I promise you.
If you end up on a date with me, bring me some flowers.
Yeah.
I would adore it.
Right, adore it.
I would adore it. And I would nurse those flowers.
Are flowers making you drop your panties? That's the whole point. We're not talking about extra lovey-dovey romantic vibes. We're talking about seduction. If somebody gives you flowers, are you thinking about dropping your panties for them? I don't think so.
I mean, other parameters do come in.
Exactly.
It's not just flowers that would drop my panties.
It's getting in the way. It's getting in the way.
But it would, if it's like some nice, if they're not cheesy flowers, that's also the thing. If they're like really classy, I like simple long stem roses or like sunflowers. Like I don't like a whole lot of mix of flowers. So if it's a good flower set, maybe.
I gotta wait a little while.
If you give me some corny, like, what do they call it? Carnations? Or I forgot what they're called. But it's like those whack ass flowers that they last a long time. I bought some and then came over here and like went back to my apartment like 10 days later. The shits were alive and well. But if they're like those, then
I feel like for me, I need probably like about 2 weeks to give you some flowers. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That's not a long time. We've established a thing.
I'm not mad at that either.
2 weeks. Yeah.
It does feel more thoughtful.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not doing no thirst. Thirst is so anti-seductive. So what other things do you have on your list as non-seductive behaviors?
Well, we have lacking patience and just kind of wanting to skip the whole seduction process as a whole.
Yeah.
This just doesn't work. This is clearly not seductive if you're trying to skip over it. And I think it just... is too much operating an ego, thinking you're too good to do that.
Yeah.
Being too clingy or like being too lovey too soon.
Flowers.
Okay.
Exactly. Flowers. Exactly.
I feel like in like a suffocating type of way.
Hey, stranger, here's a whole bouquet of flowers.
I don't think that's suffocating.
That's a sign of suffocation to
it
come.
It depends. Again, if we're like out and about, ripping and running, now I have to carry a bouquet of flowers, and yes, I'm annoyed. Again, if you're coming to my home, like ideally I live in the suburbs, mm-hmm. drop it off. I can have like my nanny or something, put it in a vase. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You're about to have people out here fucked up. Don't listen to this shit, I promise you.
Please whatever. Continue. Please continue. Another one is putting money above seduction. So just being cheap. Being cheap is not cute. Having a budget and being cheap are very different things.
I think on the flip side, along with being cheap, being too flashy with your money, where it's clearly you're just like, all well. Right, we got it. You have some money. Congratulations. That could be really whack too. I know, and I know a lot of men specifically try to use that because they lack game. They have nothing else to offer but the money.
Yeah.
And they just throw that everywhere thinking that's going to really get somebody somewhere. It gives you some artificial response, but do you really have them? Are you really seducing them? You lose that money. That's about it. And just alongside with that, I think just trying to be a show off, whether it's money or whether it's just talking about things you've done in your life or whatever it is, just trying to be show off and just screams thirst again, just trying to do too much.
Yeah, and I also think that it just puts the person you're trying to seduce in an awkward position, because like say they even fall for that and then it's like all about the flash and the glam, then later like after y'all started to build something, you kind of throw it in their face like you're only here for the money, but it's like you kind of set it up that way. It's right. Like just the double-edged sword.
Yeah, that could definitely be a byproduct of that for sure.
Yeah. Another one is just being really self-conscious and awkward and just uncomfortable in your being, just not being authentic. And especially like when people just put themselves down, like, oh my God, sorry, I'm so stupid, I forgot about this. Or like, oh yeah, like somebody compliments your outfit. Oh, this, yeah, I had it for years. I don't really like it. I couldn't find the one thing I wanted to wear. Yeah. Like that self-deprecation, how do you say it?
Deprivation, I think.
That self-deprecating,
something okay, like yeah. that. Yeah.
Self-deprecating behavior. Let me say that again. That self-deprecating behavior, it's just not cute. Just be yourself and just be happy with yourself.
Right.
Another one is just talking incessantly.
You know those people who can have a whole conversation with
do
themselves?
I know.
It's a skill.
It's a strong skill.
Like to be able to sit there and like for 20 minutes straight, you start the conversation, never get a response and be able to continue that. It's crazy and amazing, but it does not work for seduction.
It doesn't. And it's so funny because when people do that, then they'll walk away from the conversation like, I had a great conversation with so-and-so, but they didn't get a word in. They know nothing. You know nothing about that person, but it's just like the act of sharing so much, it like tricks your brain into thinking you've made a connection and really you just overshared.
Right. But on the flip side, another high level game approach to this is speaking less, listening more, and allowing the other person to talk more will give them that feeling of, wow, I really like them. We connected. Though you allow them to speak more, they feel connected to you, and you still leave them feeling like, well, damn, I don't know them yet. And that mystery is still there.
Yeah.
So it kind of works on both sides. That's definitely a go-to for me. And they say we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, so that we can listen twice as much as we speak.
Yeah.
So that when I heard that, it really made a lot of sense for me. And I've stuck with that for years since then.
Yeah, it's a good one. Absolutely. Another one is being terrified of having your ego hurt. And I think that people who just move with their ego front and center, it just, one, blocks you from actually making a deeper connection, because it's like you're putting on this facade and this surface level self. And also, like, people see right through that. And it's just, it's not appetizing. It's not sexy.
Yeah.
Another one is ignoring the rules of seduction and yet expects to win. It's just thinking you're just so larger than life that, like, of course this person would want to have sex with me. Like, I don't have to do anything type of behavior. It's just whack.
Yeah.
And even if you are that type of person, that type of, like, I guess, siren, where it's just like they're flocking to you, just do the game. Like, that's a part of it. It's fun. Play a little.
Right.
And the last one I have is making it too obvious that you're after things.
Yeah.
Like you're thirsty, like you're after some pussy, you're after some money, whatever it is. Like, chill out.
Yeah. And being a pushover, going above and beyond so early, playing all your cards, trying to appease everything about that person.
Being a people pleaser is like never good.
Having a conversation and being so agreeable with every little thing.
A yes, man.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Actually, a good way of going about it is, I think especially for men, is to disagree. Even if you actually agree sometimes, throw in a disagree or tease them and like, oh, I don't fuck with that. Oh, that's why you say it? Like, whatever it is, like throw something in there. Yeah.
That was one of my suggestion techniques.
It's a really good one. It helps people be sharp. It helps them feel like, yeah, you don't care so much. You're not so on it. It's a nice challenge. It's fun. Yeah, throw that in there once in a while. You don't always want to let them win everything.
Yeah, and it also gives you something to, it just allows you to have playful banter.
Right.
I wouldn't say disagree so heavily on like politics on the first date.
Don't talk about politics, period, on the first date. Politics, religion, stay the fuck away from those conversations.
Yeah, maybe disagree with whatever like sports team somebody is rooting for.
Yeah, pop culture.
Yeah, little stuff like that.
Should we cancel Kanye or not? You know, shit like that is fun.
That's a long conversation. We've been talking for a while.
Word.
So yeah, just like keep it simple. Keep it mad simple. Listen and be authentic.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people are familiar with the very popular book, The Art of Seduction. It's crazy how when you look up seduction, that's like clearly dominating Google everywhere, The Art of Seduction. And I think it is a great tool to be able to kind of characterize different styles of seduction so you can have a blueprint and direction in different styles and kind of figure out and identify what style you may fit into. I think generally everyone fits into one of these different archetypes that we're getting ready to go over. So it's a good base, but I was just surprised that there's no other options really out there.
There are a few. I saw one that was talking about specifically the types of archetypes for women and just like where they fall in. I remember off the top, the siren, the mother, the vixen, and something else. So there are other archetypes, but as you said, this one is just dominating. And I think it does encompass the basis or like the bulk of the types of seduction. I think it was created well, which is why it is everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. So as we go through these, just really pay attention and listen to things that pop out to you and things that you feel, you know, may align with the kind of seduction style that you've chosen to approach your victims with along the way. So let's get into it. We'll go back and forth and just go through them all.
Yeah, so there are 9 different archetypes. I'll read off what the archetypes are and then we can define what each one is. We have the siren, the rake, the ideal lover, the dandy, the natural, the coquette, the charmer, the charismatic, and the star. So, you want to go first or do you want me to?
You can do the first.
Awesome. The siren. The siren is all about luring people in by a certain image and beauty. They embody fantasy, creates a sexual energy that bypasses rationality. They shows only their positive features.
Then the rake, the playa. They don't hide what they are or what they're after and will go to the ends of the earth to get you if they want you and will make you believe that they can too. They are masters of the seductive language.
The ideal lover. They see your greatness and potential and bring your talents to the forefront. They show you your true identity. They reflect your fantasy and bring it into reality for you. They create everything that you desire.
The dandy. They play in masculinity and femininity. Mentally and or physically, they can bring wild fantasies to life. They are free from gender norms.
The natural. They are spontaneous. They have fun wherever they go and remind you of childhood. They are sincere. They are harmless and playful like a child. They are effortless and can make people feel at ease.
The how do you say this one? The coquette.
Yeah.
The coquette. The tease. They have restraint but will flirt hard and hook you in. They like playing cat and mouse and switch moods to keep you on your toes. Can be a little prudish but mysterious.
The charmer. They know how to please your ego. They make you feel special. They are social masters of manipulation. They deflect attention from themselves and focus it onto you. They make you feel good about yourself and they validate you.
The charismatic. They have high self-confidence. They have a sense of purpose and happiness within themselves. They are larger than life and express vision.
Last but not least, the star. They stand out from the crowd. They are not ordinary. They are magical and different. They are something special and unique, not the norm.
Nice.
Yeah, so those are your 9 archetypes.
So what archetype are you, baby girl?
Well, I think...
Your main one, okay. Because yeah, a lot of times you'll have a few. You'll have your primary one and then others that you also draw into.
Yeah, so I think my primary one is the siren, which is all about luring people in by a certain image, embodying fantasy. I saw this one synopsis was there's no try, there's just do. So there's no trying to seduce somebody, it just happens. So I would say that I'm the siren.
Those gloves are giving me siren vibes,
yes,
too.
This is my inspiration.
Mm-hmm. I can agree to that. You have a very larger than life visual image to a lot of people. So I think even just within that itself, just by you being, it's like almost if you were a statue in a sense, and not to come off like, you know, on next level godly, you know, thing or anything like that. Even though you are godly, you're a goddess.
Thank you.
You are my goddess.
You are my God.
Yes. But for people, I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And I can see how, just by that alone, you're able to draw people in without having to do too much other than embodying your goddess energy. Yeah.
I think for me, thank you. I appreciate that. I think for me, I remember I was on this date with someone and they told me that I oozed sexual energy. And it was at a moment where I wasn't even trying, and it wasn't something that I was actively doing. And it really made me think about just like the energy that I'm giving off, both intentionally and unintentionally. So when it came to seduction, I wanted to figure out how can I use that to my advantage, and also how can I damper it in when it would be a disadvantage if this is something that is naturally, you know, exuding from me. So I really enjoy the siren because I think I figured out how to be more active in it and really embodying it, and also knowing that it's something that kind of just happens on automatically with me, and learning how to damper it and knowing what types of things I need to do to make it a little less.
Yeah. Yeah. But even how you speak, it's so sexy.
You're so sexy.
Yeah. It does just ooze out of you. But yeah. That's a dangerous one, though.
It is.
That's a dangerous one.
Yeah.
You have people at your knees. At your feet, on their knees, for sure. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying. So along with that one, what other ones do you feel align with you?
So when it comes to my primary one, again, I say the siren, and I think that's kind of what I've always exuded. But then when I think about you and just how I am with you and how I seduce you on a day-to-day basis, it is very much not that.
Yeah, I didn't experience that on our first date.
Yeah.
Or just any time near then in the beginning.
I don't think I did that with you. And I think what I did do is, I think I tried to be the coquette, which is the tease, failed. And I ended up being the natural. So being more in tune with my childlike energy, being more spontaneous and open, flirtatious, and just easy. Not easy, but, you know, just like at ease.
Yeah.
Very simple, very loving. And so, yeah, I think you brought out the natural in me.
Yes, definitely.
Which I think is really truly me. I think that's how, like, my real self just is.
Right.
And not everybody gets that.
So, right.
But you brought that out.
But I think the reason why I was able to tune into that part of you and not necessarily get caught up in the siren version is based on the seductive style that I choose to operate within allows me to really see a person. Mm-hmm. So for me, mine is the ideal lover. I think number one would be the ideal lover. And yeah, realizing people's greatness and their potential and bringing their talents to the forefront. I think that
from, it also says they show you your true identity, which just coincides with what I just said.
Exactly. So for me, anytime I'm interested in someone, instead of trying to, I guess, peacock and show them what I can bring to the table and all of these things, I like to focus in first on them and to realize, to like see what I'm dealing with, see what type of person this is, and appeal to the things that are important to them. See who they are, what they're about, what's important to them, and then I mirror them. Mm-hmm. So I'm only going to keep this conversation within the confines of what's important to them. I'm not going to go off talking about some shit that I care about when they don't even give a fuck. That's not luring them in. I want them to, but from an authentic place, mm-hmm. to be clear, it's not me just trying to just say some bullshit that I think you would like because you're into these things. It's like, all right, well, what parts of what I know you're interested in can I draw from within myself? So it does help to be a well-rounded person with this type of approach, so you can pull on different versions of yourself. But yeah, I want to mirror you. I want it to be all about you and the things that appeal to you, that makes you feel good, it makes you feel happy, so I can bring down your defenses and so that you know that you're safe with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once that wall is down, without you even realizing it, then I can add on some of the other options, which are the charmer, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, when you were explaining your process as the ideal lover, I think that's also how you approach foreplay.
Yeah.
Because you've said many times that foreplay isn't really your thing as far as like your needs and desires in having sex, and you do foreplay like for me because I need foreplay and I enjoy foreplay. And you've also talked about how within that you had to find what within foreplay do you enjoy so that it can be an enjoyable process for us both rather than something you do for me. And I think in that way it's like you mirroring and coming into my world and my experience of just how sex works for me,
right? And it was important for me, definitely number one, so you get your needs met. But also, I just knew that by learning more about foreplay and being open to that, it would just help me be a much more well-rounded lover, you know, in general. And I'm an ideal lover. Exactly. So, yeah, it's all good. And yeah, it goes back to being a well-rounded person so that you can draw on different versions of yourself. You don't have to be stuck with being one particular kind of person, because that might not be sexy to them.
Yeah.
But other parts of you that you, if you can highlight them, may be sexy to them.
Yeah, and also just owning the fact that we're dynamic people.
Right.
Or just that people are dynamic.
Right, exactly. And so once I've broken down that wall, and now I've got your curiosity, you're open, you're trusting in me to give of yourself to me, then I can step in and charm you. So I know how to...
Master of manipulation. That's exactly what that sounded like. And that's...
I mean, if done in a healthy way, I think it can be fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, and kind of play those games. And I mean, it is a game. All of it. It's a game. That initial, in the beginning, when you go out on a first date with somebody, or you're courting somebody for the first time, it is a game. We are bringing our representatives to the table. We're not playing all of our cards. We got to keep them close to the hip a lot of times so we can really assess the situation, see what kind of person this is. And I think there's something beautiful about that.
Yeah.
I think there's because you'll never have this time again with that person. That newness, that excitement, that mystery, that curiosity, you know, there's something in that that just can't be replicated. And it is very sexy.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you cut me off a couple times on my charm. I was trying to explain my charm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's all about pleasing the person's ego. So now I've gotten your walls down and you're comfortable and you feel safe. So all those things that I've learned about you through our conversation, I want to highlight those things that I think are really good about you. Again, genuinely, you always want to be genuine, but the things I find attractive and sexy about you, I want you to know that. I want you to know the things that you're doing good. I want you to know the things that I'm attracted to about you. Make you feel special. And it does say social masochism manipulation. but again, it's the focus on making you feel good. Yeah, maybe even more so than I necessarily would maybe other times in this initial meetup with somebody. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that for the sake of the game.
I don't think so either. I also think this is where your dominance shines.
How so?
Just masters of manipulation in terms of exercising control in all things. You like control. You like dominating. And it's very sexy. And I think that the way you approach your dominance and your doming, I think, is it's very artful. Because though you are exercising control and you are manipulating, I say in quotes, the situation, you are doing it out of an authentic space and in pulling and taking in mind what that person's desires, needs, and fantasies are.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I see that. And I think it does come from a very selfless place. Like, I genuinely want you to enjoy my company. If I'm going to come up to you and take any of your time from you, whatever you're doing, if I want to have the audacity to do that in this busy, crazy world that we live in, you probably already had 10 dudes come up to you today talking some shit, some bullshit. If I'm going to be number 11, I'm going to bring value to this conversation. So I want to focus it on you. I want it to all be about you. But in turn, by being able to do that, another level to the game is that it does keep me in mystery for longer. It takes a little bit longer for you to get to know me because we've focused this conversation and conversations after that about you. But you've connected and feel like you can relate to me based on the fact that I'm able to carry on this conversation about you.
Yeah, that's...
Damn, we laying out the game right now. God damn.
And that is the coquette. The tease, the holding restraint, it's cat and mouse. It's giving, I think an example of that is like The Bachelor show. It's like dangling that carrot of just like love and sex and desire, but never fully giving it to them. So it's like they know that there's opportunity and room there, but you just never fully submit to giving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I think we were talking about it and I like that for a hot second.
Yeah.
But I don't want to play this game too long. If I feel like you're playing this game, you're trying to take it from me and keep me running and chasing after you, I don't want to do that for too long because it doesn't come off authentically after a while.
Yeah, I think in beginning stages, it is really sexy to be a tease, to be a mystery. And to also, I think it, if done properly, it can really express and just represent the value that you can give and make someone realize, planting that seed, like there's value here. There is opportunity here for something really inspiring, something really sexy or whatever it is. And I want that. And just allowing that person to come to that conclusion on their own. So when they do come and chase you, they know that it's you're worth chasing.
Right.
And then and seeing the work that they're doing in order to get that side of you, you give.
Right. You do got to work for it, though, to show that you are worth chasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought of something that I haven't experienced, but I probably would have liked or will like if I ever experience it. Someone telling me no, like meeting somebody and clearly the vibes is there. It's very sexy. We know what time it is. Like, we're both ready to go. And they tell me no, but like make it clear. They're telling me no just because they want me to wait a little bit. Mm. I've never had that experience. That I would like that. I would definitely find that I would definitely find that sexy and seductive to know that they do want it. This is all good. We're gonna get it popping. I'm gonna just make you wait a little bit just cause.
Yeah, it's sexy.
Yeah.
It's enticing.
Yeah. I like that. But let's continue to break down and kind of go a little further into the rest of them, the ones that we have here. Let's go back to the rake.
Yeah, actually, I
want
to take these clothes.
They're
so bad, but I already committed.
Or maybe in the midst of it, you can slide them off. So make it make sense.
I'm going to hit you with them if I do that. Yes, the playa.
Playa, playa.
They say it's the masculine version of the siren.
I feel like no, because the siren relies on outward appearance strongly and just their energy and just their being. People are being, you know, drawn to that, and so obviously men tend to, a lot of times all you need as a woman are your looks. A lot of times, the overwhelming majority of the time, unfortunately, all you need is your looks. So I feel like there's a lot more space for easy siren seduction happening. But I feel like with the player, like if he's a good looking dude, if you know, if he's a man, if it's a man, if he's a good looking dude, that will help you get in the door, but it still all comes back to the mouthpiece. You always got to have the game. Like, you got to know how to use your words. and be strategic and plan this whole thing out. So I do think there's a little bit more work when it comes to the rake.
With the rake, they're known for the masters of linguistics. So exactly. It's all about the language. And that's what the difference actually is between the rake and the siren, is that the siren lures you in with the visual and the rake lures you in with, you know, the auditory, what they're saying and how they're fucking your mind with what they're saying.
Right.
So you got it spot on.
Right. But I think the difference between the rake and the ideal lover is the rake will say whatever the fuck he has to say to get that pussy.
Yeah.
Like whatever. He may not even remember what he just said 20 minutes later, but
here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's nothing wrong with any of it all. I think it's all fine, whatever that people choose to do. But I would encourage those who feel like they align more with the player. And that is who you are. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If that's the phase of life that you're in, you know, having multiple partners here for just moments and not here for long experiences or anything intimate, completely fine. I would just, you know, encourage some level of authenticity in the things that you're saying. Even if it's, if you're not trying to make love to this person, if there's something that you genuinely really like about them, you know, touch on that just so that people are not getting hurt in the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because we're not encouraging that, you know, just toxic manipulation of people.
Yeah. Just be like you said, be authentic and communicate about what your needs are and what your capacity is. Like, hey, I would love to serenade you to the end of time or the end of the day. And we can have some bomb sex, but like, I'm not really here to build a relationship. And you'd be surprised how many people are so receptive to that.
I was just going
to
say that. Yeah.
So many people also want the same thing.
Yeah.
But also just get caught up in the emotion of it, that they think they want is one thing that boundary is never really created. But if you just say like, you know, hey, I want to fuck you, but that's kind of all I want to do with you. And then like, maybe in a month we can fuck again. Like, I'd be down for that. People are down for that.
Yeah. I used to have that fear, just like, no, she's not going to like me. She's going to want to have more. I can't tell her that. I used to do that shit for years, so unnecessarily, and just kind of dancing around the fact that I'm not interested in anything more. But once I did start just being upfront, like, look, I'm looking to date. I, you know, who knows what this may lead to? I don't know. But right now, this is what I'm interested in. I got such positive responses. It was such a sigh of relief. Like, fuck, thank you for just telling me so I know what it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of women, that is sexy to them. That's sexy. And it shows a certain level of confidence in speaking your truth and standing in who you are. And it's like, yo, take it or leave it. This is what I'm interested in. You with it? Cool. Not, all right, cool. I'll find somebody else. Just that level of confidence that comes with that, when you don't gotta hide behind manipulation.
Yeah. And I think also, even in circumstances where that is stated and somebody still grows feelings, if they grow feelings, then it's their problem.
That's like, their problem,
that's
on
them. And it's okay just to, you know, be honest about it. But that expectation for it going more, just that possibility, I think just that level of hurt or disappointment is just so much lessened.
Right.
Because that initial conversation was there, but that initial conversation is never freaking had. It's rarely had.
Right. But let's change our verbiage. Not it's their problem, because it doesn't have to be a problem, but that's for them to work out in their feelings. And maybe y'all can have a conversation 3 months, 6 months, whatever, you know, down the line. Maybe things may change for you. But yeah, just always standing in your truth will take you a long, long way.
Yeah, and just not ghosting people. I feel like the rake is also the ghost.
The ghost.
Yeah, just like, again, just know what you want, know what you're capable of, and just be honest about it.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
I also think that in doing that, it's even sexier, and people are going to want to keep you even more.
Yeah.
It's like a double-edged sword. You got to just go with it.
But people take that on as a challenge.
Yeah,
they want to try to. They want to try to catch that motherfucker that nobody else could catch.
Tame that play.
Yeah, I don't advise that. When somebody explains to you who they are, you need to believe them.
The first time.
Don't be trying to change somebody. They tell you this is what it is. You need to. That's it. So don't do that.
And if you do that, and you don't get the results you were hoping for, don't.
Yeah.
You knew what time it was.
That sounds like that mother seduction style you mentioned. We're not going to touch on that one in depth, but
that one's all about nurturing.
Yeah, like, I can see that. That's a seductive style. I can see men appeal being connected to their mothers in that way, you know, who really are kind of mama's boys. I can see that being appealing. So that kind of thing, taking care of you when you're down, or just helping you build you back up.
Yeah, like the natural and the mother would probably connect very well. The natural is so childlike, and because in one of the descriptions or articles I read about these archetypes, it gave not just like what the types they are, but also like the burdens that come with it. And a burden for the natural is that the other partner has to kind of do a lot of coddling, a lot of parenting. So I think that those two could work for a period of time.
It's interesting because you got the mother side. Would you say that I also activate on the daddy seduction side? I don't feel like I let that out the gate. Like, I'm not trying to.
No, I don't think that's. I don't think that's a seduction technique for you.
No,
I think it's a loving component to you. Like, it's a part of how you love me and how you support me. But I don't think that's a seductive technique. It's very different.
Yeah, I don't think you. I don't think that works in that way. I don't think that could even work. It's because it comes off creepy. Like, yeah. I don't even know you. You're trying to be my daddy.
You can be my daddy.
Yeah. So what we got next? We have the dandy. They play on masculinity and femininity. So I know just what comes up for me was Prince, just like as a nice, easy example of someone who dabbles in both and is able to, yeah, just work on both sides of the fence. Yeah, I think that could be really appealing.
It's really hot.
Yeah.
A lot of freedom. Coco Chanel is also another example of a dandy. Also, the dandy is known for it's like the siren and the rake, but for like same sex. That's how it was described in an article.
Okay.
I thought it was really interesting. But it's all about like the androgyny is what entices you in. Just that level of freedom to just be whatever side of the coin you feel like in the moment. It's sexy to have that type of freedom to just say like, fuck you and your gender norms, I'm gonna do me.
Yeah, I respect the hell out of the people that can just operate in full being and encompass both energies in that way.
Yeah,
I'm gonna surprise a lot of y'all. Probably a lot of people are gonna be like, what the fuck, get out of here with this bullshit. I would like to argue that Tupac might have some dandy in him. As much as he's about thug life and tattoos and being a gangster and rap and all that shit, absolutely, that was him operating in his masculine. But if you really observed Pac, especially during the earlier years when he was in high school, and he was in like performing arts school, he had a very sensitive side. He wrote a lot of poetry and he had a lot of women around him. And I think what drew them to him is because he was a masculine looking man who was able to tap into his feminine side on such a level. He was bagging a lot of joints. He was bagging all kinds of women. And I really think that's what it was. Because like Madonna, for instance, is she really fucking with a thug dude like that? Like, is that really what it was that got her, for instance? Or was it the fact that he was able to tap into another side of him that we may not have necessarily got to see because we only got to see Tupac Thug Life camera version, you know? So, yeah. I think it can be nice and sneaky in that way sometimes too, and what you choose to show who and what times.
No, absolutely. I think the dandy was the funnest to read about because it's working in both those roles, and not necessarily that you have to be one or the other, or that you have to be gay or seeking a certain thing. It's just that you are yourself.
Right.
It's just yourself encompassing yourself and not worrying about what other roles that society is asking you to play. It's just like, fuck that. And that's what is so enticing of the dandy. That's why people are drawn to them and just like so in awe.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yeah. Good old dandy. So we spoke on the natural. Did we talk about the natural? Actually,
we did briefly, but that's the natural is all about just being free and childlike. It's about reminiscing on childhood and running in fields and watching cartoons and just like being that soft, playful, and in that soft, playful energy. And just like, yes, I have responsibilities, but I'm just gonna have fun in this moment. I'm just gonna be joyous in that. I think we all have that natural in us when we tap into our inner child. But I think also a lot of us stay clear of that and it's just like responsibilities and being stern. And there's a place and a time for that. And there's also a place and a time for the natural.
Yeah. I definitely love connecting with naturals. I can always spot them out very quickly when I come across a natural. I definitely think I have some natural tendencies within me, and so that's why I really am drawn to them, because I just love living in the world of spontaneity whenever possible. Like, I love people who are just always about going with the flow. Like, especially when, like, it may have been a long night. Like, if somebody that we might have been dealing with for a while, it might have been a long night. They might have work in the morning. But because the night is going so well and they know that they live in the present, it's like, all right, I know I got to deal with that in the morning. Yes, and I'll make sure I get up in the morning. But things are flowing so well and this is such a great experience. Let's just fucking go with it. And then it turns from, oh, we were about to wrap up at 11, to it might be 3 or 4 in the morning. And it was such a memorable, beautiful experience, you know, full of passion and energy and just fun. And I love people who can kind of switch those gears and just have fun and not worry about tomorrow all the time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Being present. It's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I think we all want to be connected to our childlike selves and go back to those times when it was just all fun, where you can just say what you want to say and not have to worry about things, do what you want to do and not be bogged down by the life responsibilities and being an adult all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The natural's a powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
Also dangerous. One of the downsides to the natural is what you just said of just being so in the moment that you worry about tomorrow's responsibilities tomorrow.
And
a healthy amount of that is so beautiful, but it can get really not beautiful.
Yeah.
And you can just get so exhausted from just doing that every other night.
Yeah.
And yes, be present in the moment, but also be responsible.
Yeah, that is the caveat.
Yeah,
it's a fine line.
Yeah, just I feel like once you figure out that line, it can be a really free life.
Yeah, absolutely. So next we got the coquette.
Coquette. I think a lot of my sisters are coquettes, and I think that's one that I'm still figuring out, but definitely one that I'd like to embody. All about the tease and about that cat and mouse and being a little reserved. I'm a very vulgar person in a lot of different ways. I like to talk. I like to just, you know, be there. And the coquette is like there enough. It's like you're there, your presence is there, but you're not oversharing, you're not doing too much, and that mystery, just that mystique is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I can only that would only reel me in if that was like someone's secondary seductive style. If that was your main style, it doesn't work for me. Like I want your full presence. I want to see it all. I need to see it all so I know what I'm doing, or else I feel like I've lost control, because I like to maintain control and orchestrating our experiences together. So if I don't have that tool of seeing what's really going on and it's a tease and I don't really know what this is and you're playing the game, I can't.
Tease isn't always like a bad thing.
No, not that it's even a bad thing. But it's like, it's not solid enough for me to like hold on to and sink my teeth into. You know what I'm saying?
I think two coquettes would be Angelina Jolie and Beyonce. Like, I feel like they give enough sex appeal where it's just like, oh, that's interesting. But like, you don't really know too much. And then the little bit you get, it's just like, it's never too much of anything.
Interesting you say that, because you know how I feel about Beehive, don't come at me right now with what I'm saying. I'm not even gonna go crazy on her, because I like Beyonce. I think she's an amazing artist, and I feel like I don't know who the fuck she is. She's
that's
been in
the coquette. That's what I
no,
mean.
But like at this point, we should know more about her than we do. So it's like it's
all
so.
About the tease.
But
it's
so
all
you
about that cat.
So you just live there, and that's why I can't fuck with her on that level.
She lives there, yeah.
And that's why I'm not like sexually attracted to her, because she lives in that place. But for me, I would argue that Rihanna is also a coquette, even though she exudes more upfront sexual energy. Sorry. You still don't know who she is, like what she's really about. Not really. It's just a different form. It's a little more turned up. It's a little bit more bad girl with it. So, but it's still operating within a world of mystery for me, and that's what I find sexy. I know enough to know she's fucking sexy. She's probably good in bed. Like, I know enough so I can sink my teeth into that at least. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, whoa, what the fuck is she really like? Is she really good? Like, what kind of shit does she like? It draws me in enough to want to know more. And that's the difference for me.
Yeah, there's two different sides of it.
Yeah.
But I think the coquette is, I hope by like my mid-30s, I have mastered that one. I think it's hot.
Yeah.
I love a little tease.
Yeah.
Wanting to know more.
Yeah. I want to observe you doing that with one of our partners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to be able to observe that, because obviously I done pulled the hood back and I done seen all the parts. So it won't have quite the same effect with me.
No.
But I would love to observe that if you.
I'm sure you will.
Yes. So next we have the charismatic, having high self-confidence and a sense of purpose and happiness within themselves, and larger than life and very expressive visually. This one appealed to me too. I think this is probably my version of the one I want to add more to my seductive approaches. Why do you laugh?
That's the one that I'm just not interested in. Which is funny, because the one that I really want to do, you're also not interested in. Mm. I think just I have a lot of charismatics in my life where it's just like this larger than life, just seductive, like I need more of that, because they're so big that they just make you feel big. But a lot of it can just be a facade.
But that's the part about it that I wouldn't want, because I'm not interested in that. I like the mystery. I like to be more background. I like to reel you in as opposed to broadcasting it like a billboard of who I am. So I probably cut out the larger than life version, but just having a high level of self-confidence, I really love living in that, even though I can be chill in my high level of self-confidence. Because I feel like anyone truly rooted in self-confidence, they can be silent in a room, but still, you're still drawn to them because they seem so grounded. You see how present they are in their interactions with people.
Sounds like the siren.
Yeah?
It sounds like you want to be a siren.
Why? They're more visual. They're more out there, though.
No, but it's still that larger than life, but you're not giving too much.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. I want that. Yeah, I want to have more of that.
Like, I think, I think just with charismatics, it's very... Like, it sounds, everything's amazing. Everything is beautiful. Everything is just so, like, one description that they showed was like, what are they called? Not prophets, but like when they have, like in religious cults, they have like that person who, what is it called? Like that, I guess it is a prophet. I don't know.
What do they do?
It's like they kind of like are the messenger of God.
The prophet. Prophets.
It's like a little, it's a scale down from that. I'm not quite sure of the verbiage. If it comes to me, I'll say it. But it's like their vision of it, it's like you will follow it. You whatever you say is just the word of law, and it's just you're so confident in yourself that everybody just listens to you. You
could be the pastor.
I guess so.
Sounds like the pastor to me.
Okay, sure.
Head of the congregation, you know.
Head of the congregation. Okay, yes. Head of the congregation. Yes, I guess a pastor.
Yes.
I was raised Muslim. Give me some.
Understand. Stories. Understand.
But yeah, that's how it was described when I was reading. Of just like, this is who they listen to. Like whatever they say is just, it's larger than life. It is something that they need to follow in order to get to a certain level, because it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that is so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, it's a lot of power.
Yeah.
It's a lot of power.
And it's also just like, you believe in yourself so much that of course these people would follow you.
Yeah.
You'd be dead fucking wrong. You'd be just crazy. But of course.
A lot of times crazy people get large followings just on how crazy they actually are. They're willing to be that
like,
fucking
what was
crazy.
What's his name that just got banned from Instagram because all the misogynistic shit he said?
I don't know.
I forgot his name. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I didn't know anything about him until he got banned. But he got banned from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, what's his name? Fuck. I know you're talking about. Fuck. I know you're talking about.
Yeah,
he used to be like a UFC fighter, I think.
I think so. I don't know nothing about this misogynistic asshole. But yeah, like everybody, a lot of like young men were following him because it's just like, oh, this is what to follow. This is just like, he was so up there with his ideology, with his confidence, that it was just, he had these little followers who were just being little misogynistic assholes.
Yeah.
And like young people, like in middle school.
Yeah. I think that if someone can break down what's really what really drives those people, and what, I guess, combination of attributes makes this person so appealing, you can pull good things from them. And asking them, why are you so confident? Where do you get your confidence from? I think we could learn a lot from them, and being able to be more confident people and exude on such a high level that people are drawn to follow you in that way. But yeah, sometimes, a lot of times, they're so caught up in that shit They don't give a fuck about it. Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, so that's definitely a dangerous person. A lot of celebrities have that, I'm sure. A lot of celebrities have that just because they're larger than life. I know we're going to touch on that one in a minute, but I think a lot of that has to do with that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a certain level of success in your life where you just are just on one with that and people just blindly follow you. And in a sexual sense, yeah, it's dangerous when you just a regular ass person, but regular just be, yeah, just, you just believe the shit out of yourself to where people are drawn to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it is a good segue into the star. It's all about, and it really is just celebrity. Like that's the definition it had of, you being known, your beingness is just, that's what's seductive. It's nothing that you're doing. It's not the game. It's just your name.
Right.
And who you are and what you've accomplished. And that's enough for a lot of people. You know, just being seduced by like, oh my God, it's Drake or it's Rihanna or Elon fucking Musk. Like,
I don't know. And I don't judge anyone who feels that way about a celebrity just based on their celebrity. Like, you know, I get it. You know, they're a celebrity. They've accomplished so much. You see them on TV all the time. I understand it. But I just can never connect with being so drawn and being so enamored by this person. I'm willing to do whatever the fuck they want. Or even, like, want to actually have sex with them. Like, actually because of who they are. That would get them in the door very quickly. Oh, yeah. You got my fucking attention, Rihanna. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to talk. I'll give you a couple passes. You start out with a couple passes. If you ever fucked up, I'm here. You know, but you don't automatically win just because of that. I can't imagine how Drake moves through his day. I can't imagine how the fuck he moves through his day. His level of God mindset, like, you have to operate like you're a God. You're not moved or impressed by anyone reacting to you. There's nothing any stranger could come up to and say that actually really means shit. Really, for the most part. Not like... that he hasn't heard before. And so to kind of compare it to you, it's like, yeah, I hear people like trying to compliment you and like maybe think that...
Since we're on this note, if somebody else comments saying that I look like fucking Willow Smith, I've heard it 1,000,
yeah,
1 billion,
we're good on that.
Trillion times.
We're good on that.
I am good on that. I've heard it. Sure, we have a likeness. Shut up. Please. I literally, in a day, if I leave my house, in a day I hear it bare minimum 2 times.
Yeah.
I don't think I've gone a day without hearing it.
Yeah. It's not a compliment. It's an insult.
She's beautiful. I think she's very talented and amazing. I didn't shave my head to be like her. Shut up.
And aren't you older than her?
I am older than her.
And you're older than her. I'm older than her. You were born first. Your look came first. But we love Willow.
I think she's amazing.
Yes.
I think she's incredible. I love her music. I am a fan. Love you, Willow. Please stop putting that in the comments. If you go through our Instagram,
always,
you will find it at least 27 times in the comments.
Always. And it's like once somebody says it, then a gang of people say it.
Yeah.
Yes. Respectfully. Even for me, I'm tired of hearing it and I'm not even hurt. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. So we touched on all the archetypes. I think now is just a good opportunity to talk about the importance of seduction, consciously seducing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because again, in our conversations with people, a lot of people didn't really have like a solid grasp on what their seduction style is and an approach. And not that you have to be super strategic in every move that you make when trying to be appealing to somebody you're sexually interested in. I don't think you need to necessarily go that hard. If you do, great. But I just think that it's important to be conscious of how you approach people that you're interested in having sex with. Number one, just so that you can have a better enjoyable experience for yourself, but also so that you may actually be able to lure them in and have the fun times that you want more times than not. So just being conscious of your approach and taking things from these different seduction styles and incorporating them into who you are in an authentic way. Let me repeat that. In an authentic way. If you're out here just playing games and let me do a little bit of that because I know people are like that and do a little bit of this, you're not going to get it. People feel that. People feel the inauthenticity.
Like who you are and like what in these archetypes, if you identify with any, how can you bring that to the forefront and do it in a really sexy way and also not a manipulative way? Because again, seduction in its core is manipulation. So how can you make this and just make it sexy and make it work for you and also for the person you're seducing?
Yeah. And also being open and flexible to reinventing your levels of seduction or just always adding to. Because I think seducing someone that you meet at the bar is very different from seducing a partner that you've been with for 3 months, which is very different from seducing a partner you've been with for 5 years. But everyone still wants to be seduced. And I think that we've been learning how to adapt and grow in our seduction with each other because, we, you know, we're around each other so much now. We've been together almost 3 years. You know, we have other partners, 3 wonderful years. And we have other partners and we have things going on in our life. So still being able to take that time to figure out how to seduce each other.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's so important that seduction doesn't stop after new relationship energy ends. It continues. Like, how can I continue to seduce you? What in these different archetypes? Because now you know my tricks. Like you said, you know everything under my hood. You've seen it all. So how can I surprise you? What can I bring to the table that would just reel you in just even deeper? So just bare minimum. So we can have some bomb sex that night, even though we have bomb sex every time we have sex. So just how can we spice it up a bit? How can we change it up? How can we surprise one another? And surprise is also just a way of seducing. So yeah, it's important to not only figure out who you are so you can authentically seduce a new partner, but also re-identifying who you are and just checking with yourself and like what type of seduction technique or archetype is me now today, because 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago when you met me, it was very different.
Yeah. Now I likened it to like a basketball player, and you know, you get in the league and you have your skills, like you have all your tools that got you to this point to where now you're a successful basketball player, you're winning games, you're making money, you're in the league, you're doing your thing. The season ends and it's the off season, it's the summertime. So it's like during the off season, that's when players go into the lab, go into the gym and get better, incorporating new things. Maybe you didn't have the best 3-point shot. You want to work on your shot a little bit. Maybe you want to work on your defense. Maybe you want to work on your stamina. You know, just whatever it is, it's like taking that time to assess where you are and figuring out things that you would like to add to improve what kind of player you are overall in the game. And so, yeah, I think that that can help kind of put things into perspective. And keep it fun, because all this is about fun. You know, as we go through these and break them all down, like, yeah, it's about learning and studying a little bit. But again, at the end of the day, it's all about having fun and having the desired sexy experiences that we're looking for.
Absolutely. So we have a few tips for each seduction type. So I think that I have general seduction tips that I would like to share, and also just like if you want to be more of a siren, like mwah, or if you are a siren or whatever it is, you can use these tips to just amplify those. So just for general seduction tips, feel sexy, like make yourself feel desirable. I know, like when I'm, especially if I'm really low, if I'm just like having like the weather is really shitty and I just, nothing's really going for me. When I feel really shitty, I do my makeup. I will do my makeup and sit in the house all day. But just, there's something about that that just makes me feel sexier. I will put on lingerie and just like be sad eating some Ben and Jerry's. But just the fact that I'm in lingerie, it really just like helps me shift my mindset. Mm-hmm. So just feeling sexy and you already are in a good mood, it just like ups your seduction 1,000,000,000%.
Right.
Next is slow down. Seduction is slow. It's all about taking your time and being present in the moment and not just like, okay, let me try to get this pussy. Like, let me get this dick.
I like to argue with that a little bit. Yes, it absolutely can be that. But I do know those larger than life seductive types, just high energy and busy and just fucking life of the party. They're moving. Catch me if you can. Like that is also appealing because people want to rope them in and slow them down. Or just that high, fast energy can be appealing as well. So if you are just a very high energy ass person and that's the way you operate, you can utilize that to your abilities, best of your abilities as well. So I can see that having a place in there too.
I would also argue that them being so high energy and, you know, being so quick and in the moment, they're still being present.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it may feel quick to us because that's just not how we're moving. So now we have to catch up to this person.
Yeah.
But for them, they're being present. They're being in the moment and just enmeshed in that. And I think that in a way that is slowing down, it's just slowing down quickly.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that. But yeah, just to touch on like the feeling sexy, I was going to add to that, just confidence. Like we talk about it all the time through these episodes, having a high level of self-confidence in yourself. You need that in order to be able to seduce anybody.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would anybody find you attractive if you can't even see the parts of yourself that are attractive and know, yeah, somebody out here is going to like me. You know, so it really starts with that. And if it's something that you have, great. Really focus on that and utilize those tools to your advantage. Consciously utilize them. But if it's something that you are struggling with, it might not be time for you to be out here trying to seduce people. Mm-hmm. Take that time to learn yourself, to build yourself up so that you know that you can draw on these different parts of your being to be able to pull other people in. But yeah, self-confidence, it all starts there.
Okay, really quick. What are three things that you think make you sexy and that you want to be present in?
I think my physical appearance as a whole is sexy. I think because I'm tall, I'm in shape, the bald head helps too. I like to smile. The beard helps. I'm so glad I've kept my beard. And my smile, and just, I think it disarms people. The smile, I think, disarms people because it's a genuine smile. And so I think that really helps for sure. My attentiveness, because again, I'm all for mirroring somebody else and being present with their experience and listening and highlighting the things that are important to them. I want to immerse myself into their world so they feel good. They feel good. That's it. I just want them to feel good. And yeah, my sexual confidence and knowing once I've reeled you in, once we've had a great experience and you're ready to take things to the next level, I know on the other side of that, once we get to the bedroom, I know I'm not going to disappoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's my eyes, physical appearance, yada yada that part.
Yada yada.
Yada yada that part. But also just like when I'm interested, I'm genuinely interested and I want to know more. And I'm curious about you and I'm curious about how I can make you feel comfortable. And I think that's sexy. I think comfort is sexy. I'm also curious about how we can bring fantasies to life. Like I love being the supporting role in that.
Yeah. But real quick, that was something I think that drew me into you. In the beginning with being so enamored by your beauty, in the midst of us connecting with each other and from a real place, and then seeing very quickly like, wow, she's so beautiful. And I feel like she actually is paying attention to me. And like really giving a fuck and being present in this moment and not relying on your looks to move this thing along. Because there's definitely been plenty of times where I'll meet an attractive woman and I know that they're just so in their looks. They don't try. They're lazy. They're not present. They don't really give a fuck. Yeah, they're on to the next or just on their phone admiring all the messages they didn't got between the last 15 minutes that we had a conversation. And that translates to the bedroom. Because they're late. A lot of times, the most beautiful women, not all the time, but a lot of times, the most beautiful women are the laziest fucks. It's just facts. It's just a fact. So, yeah, it translates there as well. Like, I see you're attentive. Like, you genuinely want to please me. And so it makes me feel good in knowing, wow, I have this stunning, amazingly sexy woman that actually gives a fuck and is actually present and trying to make this experience great. That combination... Yeah, that combination is deadly in a really good way.
I'm glad.
Really good way.
That also takes me to my next point, is pretty is what pretty does. My mom used to say this to me ever since I could remember. And it's all about, like, yes, you are beautiful. Everybody's beautiful in some way. and not relying on that. Like, what are you actively doing to be as pretty as you look? And that's something that I constantly think about. Like, if so many people think I'm just this beautiful, yada, 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 I want people to feel my beauty in the way that they feel when they're with me, and that they feel heard. And in that way, like, and that is seductive. Just like knowing, like, okay, beyond, you know, the aesthetics check, we have that. Like, you're pretty fire. Like, you make me feel seen. You make me feel heard. You make me feel enticed and enamored by just everything that you're saying.
Yeah,
it's just, that's a sexy quality. So that is also one of the tips. The next one is seducing the mind. It's all about body language. It's all about that eye contact and seducing someone with your whole being and being observant. Like, what is it about you that likes me, and how can I play on that in a really sexy way?
Yeah.
And just also just like feeling that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last one is, we've said this multiple times, be authentic, be yourself. Like, someone who is, I think that if you came in trying to be a pure siren, as sexy as you are and how you can rely on your looks, at least in my opinion, you could do that, and I don't think it would be the best for you.
No, it's not my strength.
It's not. So, because there's so many other strengths about you that's just like, that just goes beyond your aesthetic. So if you're trying to like do this one thing and it's just like, you could, but, or you could just be yourself. Being yourself is just, it's so cliche, but it's so real.
Yeah.
It's just like all about that authenticity and just like knowing that what you see is also what you get, but so much more.
Yeah.
And you can just learn something when somebody's just themselves.
Yeah. Like, no matter who you are, what you're into in your life, what characteristics that you have, there's something sexy to someone in who you are exactly today.
Yeah.
There's no need to hide that in yourself. And plus, it just doesn't feel good to have to hide who you are and try to create some other version of yourself that's not true to you. That don't feel good. I would hate to know that I only got you because I was being some other dude. I would fucking hate that.
That's so mad weird.
Yeah, I would hate that. Because like, we have partners like that are into like nerdy things, and just the fact that they're so passionate about their, you know, quote unquote nerdy things, I love that. I love that. Like, I love that. Yeah. I can appreciate like a shy woman for still being present enough to try. Like, and like pushing through their discomfort in social situations to try, even if you're stumbling through it, you're trying right now. I fucking love that. How brave you are right now to try. That goes a long way for me, at least. That goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just being authentic in yourself, it's just, that's real. Like, I don't want to live in the, as much as I have fantasies and I have desires, I also want to live in the real world, you know, and I want to live in your real world and understand you and how you got here and how you got here created your kinks.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Like, sure, we can talk about like how you're a dom, but like, why are you a dom and what made you get here? And like, what is the one thing that like triggered you to even amplify that part of you?
Yeah.
That's sexy to me.
Yeah.
So
that's why I love asking questions, getting to know somebody. Another thing, breathing and being present with the moment so that you can fully see what you have access to, whether you're going to call upon your environment and talk about your environment or what the person is doing or what's just happening around you. I think being a seductive person is someone who's able to be quick, who's able to be witty and smart, and you can be able to pull your environment into the scenario. It just heightens the level of intelligence that you have and how crafty you are, where a lot of people just keep on using the same ass lines. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, they're going to say the same shit to you over and over and over again. That's boring. But if you can pull something out of the environment and be spontaneous in that way, that's very appealing. And just being present, just having that, taking that time, taking your time, like you said earlier, being slower in your approach and being strategic and really putting that focus on them. What would they want right now as you move and being the actor in the game, and just having fun with it. But yeah, presence and breath go a long way, especially if you're nervous, because sometimes it can be it'd be nerve-wracking to go up to a stranger and try to seduce them. So just taking that moment to breathe.
And sometimes even being honest about being nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people come to me, like, start to do a thing, and they just be like, sorry, I'm really nervous. And just, like, being able to, like, calm them in that moment so they can serenade me with whatever they have.
That's your best play. Sometimes that's your best play. You fumbling right now. Just acknowledge it. Say it in a smooth, fun way, and then you can start again. That might be your best move in that moment. Yeah.
I think it's hot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's authentic.
Exactly. You have another one?
No, go for it.
I was also going to say being selfless, and knowing that you are interested in someone. Don't allow your agenda for what you want from them to overpower their experience. And remember that it's in seducing someone, it's about their experience. You need to put their experience first and make sure that whatever it is that you're doing is helping to orchestrate a pleasant, welcoming, sexy experience for them. So being selfless in that way and putting your agenda to the side to make sure they get what they would like out of this.
Yeah. Oh, that's powerful. I like that one.
Thank you.
So now I want to get into just a few tips for each one of the archetypes. So I have for the siren: be settled in your being. They will naturally flock to you. There is no try, just do. Be a space for your seducee to let go. Don't just look pretty, be pretty. Be pretty in your actions. Be pretty in the energy you're providing. And be bold and intentional with the energy you exude. I think it's so easy to just rely on looks. And I could just do that. I could just be a pillow princess and just rely on my looks as you just fuck my beautiful body. Or I can just engage in it. Like, you think I'm pretty? I think you're hot. And we can talk about that, and we can be enmeshed in the beauty of it all, and like what makes us beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, what are our actions? I think that it's very easy for a siren to be lazy, and I think it's pretty cool to challenge a siren to be more.
Yeah. And taking on some characteristics of a siren, actually caring enough about your physical appearance to make it its best.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, yeah. Like, you always have me like, make sure I'm doing a skincare routine, having a fresh cut, ironing your outfit. You know what I'm saying? Like, doing those things, those basic things.
Iron goes a long way.
Iron goes a long way. You know, I wholeheartedly believe in that. But just those little things in your appearance and making your appearance the best and having pride in your appearance, this goes a very, very long way. So don't be lazy when it comes to that, especially if you want to bring that siren energy into your seductive experiences.
Awesome. So now I have the rake.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the chase. Allow yourself to let go and enjoy your partner, even if it's temporary. Be a safe space to house the true feminine. Up your linguistic game. Mentally fuck your prey, but in a good way. Be confident and forthright with what you want. Fully commit to what you're going after, and be honest about your lack of commitment. Allow the challenge to spark desire.
I like that. One thing I would add, again, just no coercing someone in trying to manipulate them to do something that they don't want to do. That's really it.
Yeah. The rake can be, being a player is fun. It's sexy, and that's why they get to play the game.
Yeah.
I think just adding that authenticity and just being communicative about your agenda is, that can take it far. That can take it further than you think.
But also being able to be versatile, having a lot of options, having a good verbal game, having a lot of life experience, having things that you can draw on will keep these people engaged, especially since it may be more for a shorter time. You want to have access to a lot of things that will appeal to these people in the short term.
Yeah, and also just what you said about the linguistic game and having your career as being a voiceover artist, your just vocabulary has grown, and it is so sexy to me. You'll throw in a word where, like, you'll say, and I'll just be like, mm-hmm, and I'm just like secretly Googling what the hell you're talking about, and it just expands my mind, and it's fun, and it's creative. So yeah, definitely upping your linguistic game.
Yeah.
it's a part of being a rake, and it's a part of that whole game. It's just like, wow, he said something that I have to think about, or that I have to look up, or now I have to ask.
That's a conscious
indulge
thing.
I know it is.
Yeah.
And now I have to indulge his ego just to ask, so I know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole other different thing. It's almost like becomes a power play now. Like, now you're my teacher.
Right.
And that's a whole other type of seduction.
I love experiencing that from other people, because, you know, we're sapiosexual. So yeah, I love someone saying a word and I have no idea what it means and I have to go look it up. Oh yeah, yeah. Like, that gets my dick hard. I won't ask.
I like asking. I don't mind.
I have too much pride. I want, most of the time, well, it depends. Sometimes I'll ask, sometimes it just depends.
It's same. It depends.
Yeah. But
when it's like when it's something that I really just don't know, and it's also like, it's okay that I don't know that.
Right, that's when,
like,
it's fine.
A lot of times I'll like look something up, but most of the time I would just ask a question, and now we have this whole conversation about, now I'm in your world, and I can learn something new and understand something you're so passionate about, and that's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next up is the ideal lover. Be present with your prey. I like that word. I think it can sound a little like...
Prey?
Yeah, I think it's sexy in this context. Be present with your prey, but authentically. Learn the art of mirroring. Derive pleasure from their receiving. Master the power of observation. Observation has become a lost art. That is true. See beyond the words and pay attention to the hints and body language. Your goal is to elicit an emotional response, helping them see you are valuable and charming. Be genuine, but don't be overboard. Be adaptive, always willing to alter your approach as the situation warrants, like a chameleon.
Right. It's interesting, as you go through all of those, I think what makes me a good ideal lover is my sales skills. Like, a lot of those are sales skills. And when my goal was, you know, I'm trying to get a bag out of this situation, it requires me to, number one, immediately, as soon as we get on the phone and I hear you speak to me, I'm immediately mirroring your tone and your energy. You know, so, you know, an old lady from Wisconsin is not going to want all this high energy Brooklyn shit that I, you know, can have a tendency to bring sometimes. They're not going to want that. So I'm going to calm it down. I'm going to speak slower so I can connect with them on their level. Again, that makes them feel open and trusting of me and relatable. So where we can further this conversation. So I'm not trying to impose my shit onto them. I'm going into their world. And so, yeah, you have to be alert and attentive to them, and adaptable wherever they want to go. If they change it up, let's go wherever you want to go, but it's all about them.
Yeah, but also not losing yourself, not
right,
becoming a pawn in their life.
Right. Because because you're still in control. You're still orchestrating. It may feel like they're in control, but you're still orchestrating.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly. And that's why it's so fucking fun. Because you're still leading them through the experience. At the end of the day, I have a sale to make. If we bring it back to the sales, I have a sale to make. So I'm going to do these things so I can get to my desired goal. But in this sale, I'm only going to make the sale on people who want the thing that I have to offer genuinely. I'm not going to push it on you and force it on you if you don't really want what I got to offer.
You're annoyingly hot.
Thank you.
The dandy. Tip for you is be relatable, authentic, free, and open. Be comfortable with your inner masculine and feminine. Be present in the now and be careless of the next. To be a dandy is to be constantly recreating your and reimagining your own identity. Your androgyny is your strength. Think Coco Chanel or Prince.
Yeah, sometimes I really admire them for being able to do that. I just don't think that's within my skill set or just in my being. But I really can admire and appreciate the fact that they can be that free to operate in energies that I just will never have access to. And a lot of people don't. Yeah. And staying true to that and not allowing other people's opinions to ever sway them, because it's such a beautiful thing to be able to flow so freely. So if you are someone who does operate in this free way, hold on to that. It's such a beautiful thing. Absolutely hold on to that.
So sexy.
Mm-hmm.
The next is the natural. Be spontaneous and open. Tap into your inner child at play. Be in the moment and be enmeshed in play and pleasure. Treat life with a light heart, but keep yourselves aware of your responsibilities as a growing individual. Don't get lost in the childlike essence that you become burdensome.
Yeah, it goes back to the balance, and realizing that if you are strongly operating in your childlike self, that is appealing, but also realize that people want to be adults and people have responsibilities. So don't pull somebody so far out of their world that they're so immersed in your world that it fucks up their world in some kind of way. Now you're a burden. So being conscious of that, because it is fun. You can be so caught up in it that it can be to the detriment of somebody else. But also just being able to tap into that place. Just think back to, you know, how children play. Like, observe, go to a park and observe how children play so freely.
But not as a creep.
Not as a creep. Don't go just for that. But if you happen to be at a park, observe the kids doing their thing and how quickly they pick things up and how quickly they drop things and move on to the next. And not being bogged down by
making something bigger than it actually is.
The realities of life.
Yeah. What this actually means and how it triggered. Sometimes it just is what it is, and some kid pushed you and you push him back and move on. It doesn't have to be deeper than that.
That's all.
The Coquette. Embrace your inner tease. Play cat and mouse. Be independent and self-reliant. Plant a seed of desire and allow your mystique and absence to water it. Give just enough without showing all of your cards too quickly. Be mysterious, but not a love bomber. That's real. Their greatest seductive power is their ability to turn away. Most people do the opposite. They surrender too soon and fear they will lose interest. Keep the power in your hands and control the narrative.
Yeah. The only thing I have to add to that is, mystery is powerful. Very powerful tool.
The next one is the charmer. Charm is social seduction. Be pleasant, calm, and comfortable, warm and welcoming. Be uplifting and fluid, socially in control, confident, and calibrated. Listen to people, ask questions, compliment when you feel they're looking for approval, and take mental notes on what makes them tick. The more they come to crave your approval, the more power you'll get. Charming is all about making people around you feel good. Remember people's names and details, then ask more about them as conversation goes. Be humble and vulnerable. Charming is different than the super confident, the cocky, or the charismatic. Charming is about being relatable to others, and vulnerable. And vulnerability helps us relate.
Absolutely. Remembering people's names, that's a big one. And so just bad at that. I'm not the best either. But so that you know that they know you're present. It makes them feel good. It's really about feeling good and the attention to detail, I think, with charm. Also, what comes to mind is like being like water and being adaptable in that way, and fluid in that way. And again, putting all the attention onto them when charming. Charming, that's my shit.
Charming is nice.
When I first heard that I was a charmer, I was surprised. I was like, really? And I kept hearing it as I got older and older. And then, just consciously started trying to apply these things. But I really take that on as a badge of honor, being a charmer.
You are my Prince Charming. The charismatic. The type that enters a room and steals all the attention. Act like you know where you're going and people will follow. Take bold action. It's all natural, a gift from the gods, something outside of your control. Have a purpose regardless of setbacks, obstacles, and failures. Show warmth, sincerity, and truthfulness during interactions. Magnify strengths with magnetism. Accentuate your unique strengths and talents with others and disguise, but do not hide your perceived weakness and flaws. Subscribe to the school of abundance. Maintain a sense of mystery and be present with others.
Just bold. Elite levels of confidence. You really got to be on a high level of confidence to be able to really to pull that off on a high level. Just knowing who you are, and then your ability to do that. Bold and go where other people are not willing to go, and give them an experience they may not feel with the average person.
I think it's powerful to just be able to be in that space where you can just be all that you are and use that to your advantage, but also don't get a big head with it.
Right.
Okay. Last but not least, the star. Vague and ethereal.
You are a blank screen. Flow through life non-committedly and people will want to seize you and consume you. Learn to tune your face like an instrument. Make it radiate a fascinating vagueness for effect. Since you need to stand out from the stars, you need to develop attention-getting style. Keep your distance. Let people identify with you without being able to touch you. They can only watch and dream. Make yourself into a cipher, a mix of the real and unreal. Hold yourself back, occasionally revealing a trait that makes people wonder whether they really know you. Your words should be fascinating, diverse, strange, and their meaning unclear.
I don't know. My only input for that one is, you know, that's definitely like the, I think 1% of people that really operate in that. Like, every, you know, obviously people feel like stars and, you know, just on this whole other level. And I think that's good in adding to your confidence. But I think truly the only way to really do that from an authentic place is if you have reached, I guess, a certain level of celebrity or just certain, yeah, stardom or just certain level in life that is, I guess, on a higher level in quotes than other people. You're in that position to be able to do that. So if you're in those places, yeah, embody that. You know, if that's who you are, embody that. But if not, there's many of other options that you don't have to kind of try to force yourself to be this, you know, otherworldly human being. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot that comes with that one.
I think it's all about creating, balancing the dichotomy between like being mysterious and also being relatable.
Right. Exactly. So we touched on a lot of stuff today, and I've learned a lot even from myself just in doing our research to this and kind of where I want to take my ability to seduce, you know, to a whole nother level. So we encourage y'all to really dive in and immerse yourselves into the world of seduction, you know, and be clear on how you like to seduce, be clear on where your skills lie, and how to add to that. And I think you'll really be able to start seeing a whole nother level of response from your prey. I love that word, from your prey.
Yes, I think just moving authentically and really embodying who you are and who you desire to be. I think like the fake it till you make it type of stance, it kind of works in this sense. Like, who do you want to be? Like, if I want to be more of a coquette, how can I fake it until it becomes more natural for me?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think it goes all into a sense of play. Be more of a natural in that sense of playing with these different archetypes and really amplify those parts of you that are sexy and that can be sexy and just have fun with it. Don't be a manipulator. Don't be a love bomber and don't coerce people. Just be a seducer and have fun with that and be okay with messing up along the way.
Yeah, it's all about playtime. So with that being said, we encourage y'all to have fun with this. Thank everybody for all your support. Make sure, if you haven't yet, please like, subscribe on all the channels, YouTube, Instagram, comment, share, add us to your stories. Add us, help us continue to grow this thing. Things are really starting to move now. So we appreciate all of y'all's support. And if you're watching, I'm sorry, if you're listening to us on any of your podcast streaming platforms, right after you're done listening to this, take a second and leave us a review. It really helps so much. You have no idea how.
Typed out
review. Yeah, like a typed out review. We love the stars too, but a typed out review just of your experience of the show and what you may have got from it. We really, really would appreciate y'all doing that for us. We got a lot coming on the way. We got the merch. It's on deck. We are working that out. We should have an update for that soon. We also have play parties coming up. If you are interested in a play party in the New York City area, please let us know, because we are seriously working on that and we'll be doing one of those really soon.
DM us on Instagram at Both Sides of the Bed for that if you're really interested in being a part of our play party. We'll have a vetting forum and all that stuff out soon.
Yes. So please make sure you follow us on everything for all the updates, all the latest episodes and additional content at Both Sides of the Bed. You can also check us out individually on Instagram at Amir_Rashad
and Basira_. You can also check us out on our new website that's finally launched at BothSidesOfTheBed.tv. If you're interested in sex and relationships coaching with me, you can check me out at b-intimate.com. The link is also in our bio on our Instagram.
So until next time, you beautiful people, stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the seductive sexy.